It's an honor to be here and talk with you about factors that impact breast health screening for women with disabilities and their providers. And I'd like to acknowledge two of my co-authors who are in the audience, Eva Eggensteiner and Vijay Vasudevan. So just enter. I have no disclosures to report. I would like to acknowledge our funder, the Susan G. Komen Breast Health Organization, as well as our steering committee that guided us through our whole two-year process of our study, the women and providers who shared their experiences with us, as well as our partner, our community partner, the Center for Independent Living of North Central Florida, with whom we've created a collaborative called Women's Independence Through Health Universal Screening Solutions, which is called With Us. Today, I'd like to just really briefly discuss our project, our findings, and some implications for future action. So why focus on breast cancer? In the United States and in Florida, breast cancer continues to be the most frequently diagnosed and second leading cause of cancer death among women. Why focus on women with disabilities? Historically, women with disabilities are seen as an underserved population in our society, and especially in our healthcare system. Over 20% of U.S. women report living with at least one disability, at least one, and women with disabilities have at least the same or a greater chance due to risk factors of developing breast cancer as other women, and therefore early detection is incredibly important. Empirical evidence has shown that survival after breast cancer is greatly improved with early detection and appropriate treatment. Still, studies are finding that women with disabilities face many barriers to screening that can be the same as other women or unique to having a disability. The goal of our study was to elucidate factors that are important for screening for women with disabilities and providers, and from their own perspectives. And so a main part of our project was to conduct telephone interviews with women with disabilities and telephone interviews with healthcare providers, and not necessarily finding healthcare providers who were matched with the women. So we had different populations there. All of the findings were shared and have been discussed with our participants as well as community members through interactive community forums that were conducted at the Center for Independent Living. And during these forums, the providers were able to receive CE and CME continuing education credit. Another exciting aspect of our project that I can't touch on today, but I wanted to alert you to, is our development of photo maps. And for this, we provided digital cameras so that women with disabilities and their providers could actually visually document and relate to others an experience of going through a healthcare or mammography visit. We've developed these into narrated slideshows, which are now posted on our secure website, and we're actually trying to evaluate these. So if you feel like you'd like to view these and to help us evaluate them, we have some information that we can give you. They're really beautiful. So our study was located in 16 North Central Florida counties, and these are the counties that are served by the Center for Independent Living of North Central Florida. We recruited women from North Central Florida who were 40 and over and living with a physical disability that leads to mobility impairments, and we used these four guidelines that were used by the NHIS disability module of walking 10 steps, having difficulty walking a quarter of a mile, difficulty standing for 20 minutes or more, or needing to use or an aid to stand or walk. For providers, we recruited primary care providers and radiology technologists who practiced in North Central Florida and had at least some women with physical disabilities as part of their practice. In terms of representation, the women represented variability in terms of age and years with disability. Most used mobility aids and several of them. Most reported other issues besides physical challenges, including cognitive, hearing, and sight. Most were unable to work, lived on lower incomes, were not married, but had insurance through Medicaid and/or Medicare. Our providers were mostly women and mostly white. None of them reported having a personal disability, though over half of them reported knowing others who did. Half were primary care providers and half were radiology technologists. And of the patients they saw in a week, about 11% were women with physical disabilities. So in terms of our findings, for women, we found that they really did perceive screening to be beneficial. During the past year, most have had several healthcare visits that included at least one physical examination, though over half said that they did not receive any health information from their provider about breast health screening. 6 of the 30 women were able to name the 3 common screening methods, including breast self-exam, clinical breast exam, and mammography. And very few of them were able to relate back to us the guidelines for breast health screening that are ascribed by the American Cancer Society or the Susan G. Komen Foundation. When asked about their risk perception of breast cancer, most women felt that their risk was medium to low and that their risk was the same as other women. Risk was most often associated with having a family history of breast cancer and not with their disability. And as one woman stated, my legs should not affect my breasts. When you think about the different guidelines that are out there, there might be a reason why women are not able to name specific guidelines. And they all have different understandings and different feelings about how they're going to recommend clinical breast exams, mammography, or breast self-exam. Women are often directed towards the American Cancer Society or Komen websites if they have information needs for breast health, whereas providers might be going to the National Cancer Institute or the United States Preventive Services Task Force. So they have different sources for their information. Still, when we talked to primary care providers, they said that they described that they really do not ascribe to specific recommendations for when to initiate screening, often going to milestones such as first puberty or first sexual experience. But they do ascribe to Komen and ACS in terms of the frequency of their screening. Still, they do admit that though they recommend these screenings, they do not educate their patients on these guidelines. They just say, you should go and get a mammogram now, not that you should get them annually. Most women reported that they have ever received all of the screenings, but over half of them were off schedule in terms of current screening. Although many women love their providers, like most women, women in our study were very satisfied with their providers, especially when they listened to them and answered their questions. But in terms of being a woman with disabilities, they also wanted their providers to know their history and circumstances, to make accommodations when they were requested, to understand their limitations, and to focus not too much nor too little on their disability. But they also really wanted to be seen as a whole person and be told to have these preventive screenings beyond their disabilities. When asked about disability-specific training, fewer than half of the providers reported having any formal training in school or as professionals. Providers had a long list of wishes that they had for additional screening for working with their patients with disabilities, including working with women with obesity, working with women in terms of safe transitioning and positioning, and even sensitivity to disability issues. We did have at least one provider who didn't think there was any additional training that was necessary if it pertained to physical disability, and that she said, if they have a physical disability, I don't perceive there's any special training anyone needs. Although many of the women did love their providers, they definitely inferred that the special training was needed and indicated by this comment. I hate to have mammograms. I've had only 3 in the last 18 years because I have a balance problem, of course. And then they, radiology technologists, do not understand. So there's definitely a need for some training and some issues. When asked about specific physical features of the healthcare facilities they went to, women discussed factors that make medical visits easy or hard. When they talked about parking, they didn't just talk about disability parking because many of them use paratransit. They wanted to be let off in the parking lot in a place where they could easily access a door and not have to go around the building, which made them bring their wheelchair as opposed to walk in the building. In terms of the entrance, they wanted it to be automatic or they wanted there to be a ramp to be able to get up. They wanted reception areas to have low counters, and they wanted a place for their wheelchair so they weren't sitting out in the middle of nowhere. They wanted the hallways, the doorways, the changing rooms, and the exam rooms to be big enough and wide enough for them to get around. They wanted these to be big enough that they could get around in their accessibility aid and not have it sitting outside the room away from them, and they wanted to be able to have assistants come in with them. In terms of equipment, they wanted tables that adjusted, and that was a primary, a principal issue for clinical breast exams, and they wanted the mammography machines to be more accessible. When asked about their own healthcare facilities, all but three providers considered their facility to be accessible. All primary care providers also reported confidence in the mammography facility to which they referred the women that they are treating with physical disabilities. We did not ask them if they'd actually gone to these facilities. Thank you. Providers' definition of accessibility varied and included aspects of the physical building, the services they offered, and the ideal of equity in its usability. This provider gave a very comprehensive rationale for considering her facility to be accessible. The front door automatically opens when someone is in front of it. We're all on one floor. In the front lobby is a volunteer. Behind her desk are wheelchairs if people are unable to walk. We have Spanish translators, and it's very accessible. That was a very comprehensive view. Others just stated one thing, like our doors open. for providers, and for women, inadequate access to finances, insurance, and transportation often makes it difficult to remain on schedule with your breast health screenings, especially for clinical breast exams and mammography. For the women, they seem to compensate for this by performing breast self-exams much more often than the recommended one time a month. For providers, women also described challenges to locating providers who accepted Medicaid. 9 of our 29 providers in the study indicated that they were not accepting new Medicaid patients at that time. For providers, this is a major challenge to working with women with disabilities, so we really cannot ascribe blame to providers for this. So, in terms of transportation, most of the women used paratransportation, and while they were appreciative of the services, the rules, the regulations, and the processes involved in using this paratransit were very, very challenging and impact not only their health care, but their ability to remain independent and great participants in their social event, or in their society. As this woman said, I had them be so late that I missed a schedule appointment, or they don't have me on the schedule at all. It's not as reliable as I would like it to be. So in summary, when asked about similar factors, both women with disabilities and providers are impacted greatly. Such factors include the woman's health and her disability, education, knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs about cancer and screening and regulations, availability of evidence-based information, social and organizational policies, and access to accessible resources such as equipment, insurance, and transportation. In terms of future actions, future efforts really need to take a social ecological approach that reaches individuals, organizations, and society. Not only should we be developing, but we should be enforcing ADA requirements that lead to universal access. We need to be enhancing skills of women and providers in terms of advocacy and mobilization for positive change. We need evidence-based education that involves women and providers as experts of their own experiences. And we need a consideration of the role of humanity and decency as it pertains to quality of life for women with disabilities and for others. And this is my final quote, but it comes from a provider who is giving advice to other providers. Remember why we got into this business, because we love people. It takes some passion for every situation. Women with breast issues and women with disabilities are no different. Thank you.
We have time for a couple questions. Key, can you take the microphone back?
You mentioned that wanted the actual mammography machine to be more accessible. Did you get in any detail about what that exactly would mean?
We mostly heard from women who weren't able, it might be the machine or it might be the radiology technologist not knowing exactly what they can do with it, because I think a lot of this is just learned on the job. But the women really wanted, if they were in a wheelchair, they really wanted to remain in their wheelchair because the balance issue is so scary to them. some radiology technologists didn't exactly know how to manipulate their chairs so that they could lean back or work with the machine that they're working with. Or the idea that one woman discovered for herself that she could actually sit on her walker while having a mammogram, and nobody had ever suggested that to her. So maybe I'm a little off in saying the mammography machine, because I know that is your issue, but that it's the ability to use the mammography machine that you have in a more accessible manner.
Well, and if I could just, I could maybe add that. I've actually been with patients who have gone to mammography, and most patients I work with are quadriplegic, so they're in wheelchairs, fairly high level patients as well. So again, very little mobility, and it is extremely difficult because a lot of the machines don't come forward towards the patient far enough into their chairs. They don't go up and down enough, and they're a little wide too, so that they hit the armrest.
Yeah.
So even if the machine can come, it hits the armrest. And then patients, again, since the machine can't come towards them, we're trying to lean them forward, which often is a big feat for these patients, and putting them in a comfortable position, and often in places too that when the x-ray is taken, it doesn't give a clean picture, because getting a patient upright and towards the machine when they're trying to lean forward is very difficult. So maybe that answers your question a little bit.